This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Fathers, please send them. Send the helpers of war into our midst tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's be seated briefly. What number are we today? 37. So we have 3 more days to go, and God has been faithful. And during the course of these 37 days, 36 days, and today being the 37th, we've been having different emphasis coming to us regarding the subject of spiritual warfare. And this evening, I'll just add something. It's not, I consider it crucial and critical that we pay attention to this. Spiritual warfare generally doesn't thrive strictly on your own strength and advantages, but there are other aspects that is of interest to the opponent whenever the subject matter of warfare is mentioned. From the beginning of the war between Russia and Ukraine, a lot of factors were brought to the fore. The military might of both nations we are put into perspective, and humanly speaking, Ukraine doesn't stand a chance, not because they are not a powerful nation necessarily, but because of the perceived obvious strength of the nation that they are up against. And when such you find yourself in such a situation, the next thing to begin to consider and contemplate if you must fight the fight, and of which for us as believers, spiritual warfare is a core course, is a subject matter that you cannot escape. Whether you like it or yes, you are already implicated. Praise the Lord. The next thing that nations begin to consider is the weaknesses of the opponents. Perhaps they may have some current artillery equipment, machines, but if they are lacking in an area, then you begin to see that there's a vulnerability there, and it becomes the major focus, the major emphasis in warfare, not because this particular nation doesn't have strength that are imposing and notorious, but the nation that is coming up against that nation would focus its effort, its advantage on the weakness of the enemy nation. And great people have lost out, great nations have lost warfares that they shouldn't, not because they were not strong, but because they paid a lot of attention to their strength, but they never paid attention to their weaknesses. And the weakness that a man carries into the arena of spiritual warfare becomes the obvious advantage that the enemy focuses on. It becomes a direction. It becomes a strategy. Praise the Lord. So when we are getting ourselves access, ready, preparing ourselves for spiritual warfare, because the real meat of this season is not now. Now we are in the depot. What is going on? We are in a cantonment. It's a military cantonment. It's a boot camp. What is going on is more of training. You are familiarizing yourself more with your weapon, your advantages. The teaching that Reverend Dan gave yesterday, you could see the fact that you're not fighting a new battle, and you're fighting from a ground of victory. And all of this, they are so exciting when you hear them. But having been on the ground pastoring, I've been preaching for close to 20 years, and by this March it's going to be 16 years here in Remnant Christian Network. I can tell you the outworking of victory is not the same as the revelation of victory. It's like when a woman takes conception, when you receive seed, you become pregnant. It's fun, it's pleasurable to take seed, but it's painful to deliver. Hallelujah. Do you understand my preamble? So that you get to discover, okay, this is who I am in Christ. This is the victories that you have is backdated to the cross, and there is no doubt about it, because the victory that you are standing in was an open victory. Bible said that he made an open display of principalities and powers where he triumphed over them, even in the cross. So, angels in heaven, the heavenly beings, they are aware that there was a resounding victory of all time. In hell, all the devils were present for that defeat. So there is no demon that can claim that the day Jesus Christ won that battle, he was not present. If he was present, it would have changed the whole outcome and the disposing of that battle. No, they were all part of that warfare. But the appropriation, the bringing into personal enjoyment, the dividends, the booties, the spoils of that victory, applying it to yourself, it's not as cheap as just saying it. Praise the Lord. And it is very possible, because we're not going to paint just the positive side of the picture alone to you. You need to see where the pitfalls are in transit. I love war movies. Like, I don't have all the time to watch a 3 hours movie, but I just love the snipers, where a sniper is just taking aim and all of that. And there's many times you get to see soldiers thronging along in desert lands, trekking for long distance to get to a particular place. And at the time, I was going, putting myself on a sniper course, self-dictated sniper course. And I discovered that a sniper, if he has, I kind of isolated the target, a person to take down, sometimes they can be in one spot for 2 weeks, not moving. They have to find a way to camouflage, to mimic, and to blend into the environment and atmosphere. That many times you are hungry, you are thirsty, your supplies are out, and what will keep you running is something inside, not anything outside. And when you begin to engage in spiritual warfare, because persecution is going to arise on account of the word, and I have it expressly to inform you that as soon as we are done, while you are, many of us are saying, okay, thank God, 3 more days to go, so you can revert back to everyday normal life of eating and drinking and all of that. There is an enemy that is waiting for you. And the reason why he is having you in target is because you now have classified information, classified training that can take him out. I've told us here sometime how that once upon a time I was traveling, students were going to school in Adamawa State, and we had a robbery incident. And there was a police escort in the car, and he had to hide himself to disguise himself, even though he was wearing police uniform, while it was just we and this man, police escort, having his pistol by his side. We, the student, were scared. But when we got into the robbery scene, it was the policeman that was scared, because he knew that if the robber should get into that vehicle for whatever reason and they discover he is a trained personnel, he is the first victim of their visitation. Do you understand? And because maybe if up until now the messages you have been hearing is about declare and clear, name it and claim it, and say it. If you can picture, you can capture your future. How do they say it now? The future you don't picture, you can't feature. If that was all that you were hearing, Satan may not bother you too much. But now that you have gone through a 40 days cantonment combatant training, Satan will always come. He will come to test the things that you are holding. Has the God said that you should not touch, should not eat of any of the trees of the garden? The Lord told Adam and Eve, you may freely eat of all the trees except one. Satan came, confused the whole question, confused their mind, and then threw a question to them that was wrong in the first place. God did not say you may not eat of any of the three, where else they would have starved to death before Satan would appear on the scene. And he came, just confused the question, and then asked them. And then Eve said, God said we should not touch. You know, the devil will always come anytime there is a word imparted. And everything that God will give to you, everything that God will do to you, everything you can become under God, it is wrapped up in his word. If God has not spoken to you, there is no bond between you and God. To bring Israel out of a 430 years of captivity was all wrapped up in a word. Go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Just a four-word sentence that is complete. It has the air of warfare battle inside of it. Let my people go is a reason for the 10 plagues. Is a reason for the parting of the Red Sea. Is a reason for God doing all that he did. Let my people go. And every time, anytime there is a word spoken, you're going to hear Pharaoh telling you, I know not the Lord. When you say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory come in. Many of us will be living this 40 days fasting, thinking that as you just go and say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, the devil will just do like this and give you a bow. That's not what you're going to meet. You're going to meet a fight. And that fight is going to be lethal. It's going to be a fierce battle. And the Bible says that every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and blood must be spilled. Garment rolled in blood, and there will be fire. There is something I want to draw our attention to this evening, this night. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 25. There was something Reverend Dan was mentioning the other day, and many of us, I just hope you paid attention. In all my Christian journey, these 40 days expounds on spiritual warfare is the most comprehensive. I don't know about you. For many persons, it's, oh, the devil, that is what you have known about spiritual warfare. This 40 days so far has been the most comprehensive, the most elaborate of the treatment of the subject matter of spiritual warfare. Go to verse 16. All right. 17. This is the Lord speaking, Moses speaking to Israel in Deuteronomy 25. He said, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when ye were come forth out of Egypt. how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Exodus 17 verse 8, I'll read. You can leave that scripture on the screen while I read. This was Israel coming out of Egypt, and they've had a challenge of water supply. They were thirsty. There was no water for them to drink. And they fought with Moses, speaking a manner of things. And God had to visit them there. And then in verse 8, it said, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord had sworn that he will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. This is that graphic war where Moses had to stand on the top of the hill. If you see, in Israel's journey, there was no particular battle that led Moses to take a particular posture of height, except when they were fighting with Amalek. I know Amalek is family. Amalek is a descendant of Esau. All right? So they grew while Israel was in captivity growing. Amalek was in freedom growing, just the way Ammon, Amnon, Moab, and the other nations were growing as a nation, and Israel was spending 430 years in captivity. And Israel came out of Egypt on a journey that is predicated on a divine instruction, backed up with divine commitment of deliverance. All that God did in Egypt, the great signs and wonders, the deliverances that God did in Egypt, there was another personality in warfare that Israel had not experienced while they came out from Egypt and then on their transit out of Egypt. And is that spiritual technology that is wrapped up in the name Amalek. Now, if you go back to Deuteronomy 25, verse 17, you're going to see Amalek. Okay, go to verse 18 now. You're going to see the nature of Amalek. Now, just a recap of Exodus chapter 17. The atmosphere in Exodus 17 was that Israel was thirsty. And when a man is thirsty, a man is hungry, there is a form of vulnerability that man finds himself. Can you say need? Needs. All right. You're going to find spiritual warfare that are wrapped up around legitimate needs of yours. Water, they say, is life. Do you get it? Water. And a man can survive without food for about 40 days plus, and many persons have gone without food for over 40 days, but there is a limit to which a man can go without water. And here was Israel, a youngling in freedom. They just got freed out of Egypt, out of bondage. They are just not many days in freedom. And they are trying to exercise themselves, try to feel themselves, try to even believe that they are free. They are no longer in bondage. They woke up and they discovered that they are not under the whip of the taskmasters. And here is Amalek meeting them. And he say, how that he met the in the way, because when Israel coming out of Egypt, you know, when Reverend Dan was speaking about jurisdiction in spiritual warfare, there are nations that God will not allow Israel to fight with because of family. You get what I'm saying? When he met the descendant of Lot, Moab, and Edom, God did not allow them to fight because they are closely related, their blood. But these persons have grown in wickedness over time that... Are you still there? All right. They've grown in wickedness over time that there is no conscience, there's nothing like blood. And this particular tribe, there are nations that Israel had to go fight head on. Some nations heard that Israel is coming and they prepared. Jericho had to fortify their walls, Ai, and a lot of things that nations do. But Amalek did not say that they are going to fight Israel, no, head on. What Amalek did is, they allowed Israel to pass as if they have extended to Israel a right hand of fellowship. Then they went to the back in a procession. Usually you're going to find the strongest, they are at the front. The other day, in the morning, early hours of the morning, I don't know, Victor may remember, maybe around between five, six, I was driving home from the embassy and, going, I saw some students. How many of us remember what we call cross country? If you were in the boarding house, cross country. We don't come again, no, we don't come again, no, Mama Angelina, who are you? While we are singing and moving, the strong ones are in front. If you went to boarding school, I didn't do cross country, then you missed out on something serious. Hallelujah. That is militarization 101. Hallelujah. The weakest are usually at the back. Why the strongest are just moving, they are setting the pace. Alright? Others are accumulating backlogs, their weaknesses are being reviewed. Maybe when we started and we start moving, you know, out of the school gate, everybody is just moving. But over 30 minutes, 1 hour, you see the distance, and then we have to leave some coach or some prefects, senior guys, at the extreme back so that at least, even if you don't catch up, if you are not able to catch up with the pace, you don't become exposed to any harm or whatever. I was going home and I saw these students, they were moving, and the guys at the front, they were just moving with strength. After driving for some time, I still saw some, they were coming like this. And the gap kept increasing. The gap kept increasing. Those are the type that when daylight begins to appear, they carry Okada. Those ones will not say anyhow, better late than never. They will not go the route. They will just carry Okada, and then before you know, they just wait for somewhere. As if they went to Israel, so then they just join and continue the race. Now, those ones that were at the back, they are the object, the target of Amalek. The ones that are weak, the ones that are fainting, the ones that are tired. You find Amalek, say, how when Amalek met them in the way, they were on a journey of prophecy. And this prophecy is old. Older than Amalek, because the prophecy dates back to Genesis 15, where the heat of the beginning was still very strong. God had told Abraham that your descendants are going to be slaves in a land not their own. They are going to serve that nation 400 years. And after that, I'm going to bring them out with a strong hand, with a mighty hand, with a high hand, with great substance. Now, this prophecy now is over 600 years old. From when God spoke to Abraham to when Israel went to Egypt, it was over 250 years. And then they have spent 430 years in Egypt. They are coming out. And this prophetic journey, fulfillment of the prophetic word spoken to Abraham, you find Amalek coming. After Pharaoh was dealt with, you know, Pharaoh, let my people go. It's a boisterous one. That the place, everything allowed. But there is an enemy, a sinister enemy that he doesn't make noise. This enemy doesn't shout. This enemy doesn't do propaganda. It is walking. It doesn't talk. If you watch the good, the bad, the ugly. Say if you want to shoot, 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 don't talk. Do you understand? This enemy doesn't talk, he shoots. You just discover that a Christian has been hacked down without signs, without any indicator. So when Israel came, and Israel was in the way, and he smote the hindmost, which depicts the time of your life where you are not as vibrant, as strong as at other time. Are you still there? Even all that were feeble behind thee, and when thou was faint. You see, number one, he struck those who were at the back. He struck those who were feeble. And then he waited for Israel when Israel was faint by reason of the demand of destiny. How many of us have felt the weight of our own destiny upon us? You are out to carry out a dossier of the Lord and you feel the weight is heavy. Ministry is heavy. Marriage is heavy. Career is heavy. Business is heavy. You are fainting and you just need a miracle right now. So when thou was faint and when thou was weary, and this particular principality that is wrapped up in a tribe, say he didn't fear God. As you go out, as we engage in spiritual warfare, one of the deception, one of the pitfalls you are prone to, largely, is the pitfall of thinking that your strength will atone for your weakness. It's like when you have a football team, all right? The strikers are great. The attackers are great. But the goalkeeper is bad. All the gains that these strikers will make, all the goals that will score the opponent, this goalkeeper will receive into the net. The advantages that the strength gives, the weaknesses cancels them out. That is why they say the strength of a chain is where? Is where? You cannot say this chain is strong. If you're going to measure the strength of a chain, it is the weakest point of that chain that you use to measure its strength, not the strongest part. So, as a person, as a people, the day Miriam became leprous, what happened to Israel? Israel was truncated. What Pharaoh could not do, a weakness of competitiveness, dishonor, brought an entire nation to a standstill for 7 days because of the weakness in one of the critical points. God's approach. Can you give me Judges chapter? Judges 16. The reason why I want to paint this picture so that you can see and contrast and take this matter of weakness serious, because anytime we say weakness, we are saying gains to the enemy. Every time we say weakness, we are saying advantage to the enemy. Every time we say weakness, we are saying you are vulnerable. And your strength will not atone for your weakness in spiritual warfare. Many times the problem, the challenges you're going to face in spiritual warfare that has become interwoven into life and how life happens is not many times with what you have, but with what you don't have. It's not many times with your strength, but with your weakness. Then Samson went to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazite, saying, because Samson now is a wanted personality all over the five regions of Philistia, Samson was wanted. So whether he goes to Ekron, whether he goes to Gaza, whether he goes to wherever he goes to, he's being wanted. And here he found himself in Gaza. And saying, Samson is come hither, and they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we shall kill him. The nature of weaknesses, especially spiritual weaknesses, is that they don't appear when you are displaying your strength. This aspect of your life, this aspect of the life of a Christian, can lie fallow, it can lie quiet, it can lie recessive and dormant, and it will look as if it is not there. It can be hidden, that when you come, you say, where did they say, where is this thing? There's no enemy here. Nothing is happening. How can you say they are killing people? And I even passed the road from Makodi to Nasarawa State. All of that are deception to ensure that a man becomes fully ensnared. And this aspect of the life of the Christian is Satan's target in spiritual warfare. Amen. And Samson lay, verse 3, and Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. We don't have time to talk about Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Verse 5. And the Lord of the Philistines came up unto her because of her love and her lover. She has become a strategic instrument, functionary for warfare. And they came unto her and said unto her, entice her and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. There are five regions in Philistine. So the five regions are going to give her 1,100 pieces of silver. That is 5,500. This is a thriving business. Verse. And Delilah said unto Samson, tell me, because all that is put on display, when you look at Samson, when you see him fighting, if you see all that is being done, the only thing, all that is put on display, is Samson's strength. And the inquiry the enemy is making, because The enemy has a plan with you in view, and there is a survey, there is a research going on. There is an inquiry going on, and this is it. Say, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lies. I want to know the location of your strength, number one, and with what thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Verse 7. And Samson said unto her, this is a question Delilah asked, say, where, what is the secret of your ministry? What is the secret of your finance? What is the secret of your family? What is the secret of your purity? What is the secret? Tell us a secret. Have you discovered that when you tell some people that I used to pray 4 hours every day, that is the end of 4 hours prayer for you? Have you been there before? Amen. Say, I used to fast 21 days every month. The next month, ulcer is just your neighbor. By 10 a.m. on the third day of the fast, it looks as if your intestine is going to be ripped off. And because the enemy is after your weakness to create an opening there, he can use anything. There are different components of weakness. Tiredness is a component of weakness. Sickness is a component of weakness. Discouragement, weariness. And the devil knows how to marshal any one of them if he knows where to target his assault. He said, tell me. And Sam, this is the interpretation of her question. She said, tell me where your great strength is. Tell me what we can use to bind you. What are the kind of instruments and weapons that work against a man like you? That is a research in darkness. What can we use to decouple this man? That force of strength that is used to drive destiny. How do we slow it down? And if you go to Proverbs 31, a woman who has seen the way kings have been cut down, cut her son, Lemuel, the mother of Lemuel, and began to insulate Lemuel. Say, what, my son? What, son of my womb? What, son of my vow? Before you came, I told God that if he should give me a male child, I will raise him as a minister. And because of that, the strength of Lemuel was gathered and concentrated from childhood until he grew into kingship. And he said, it is not for Lemuel to drink wine. Don't give your strength to that. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroys kings. In the research that has been done, there are certain weapons that work against a category of people. And for kings, their strength is a target. How, go back to where we, go back to Samson. He said, if, this is Samson's interpretation of her inquiry. He said, if they bind me with seven green wheats that were never dried, then shall I be, and be as another man. This is the inquiry. How? There is a difference between weak and weakened. Where the enemy meets strength, and the only thing he can see is strength, the brilliance of strength casts a shade of light on the eyes of the enemy, and they cannot locate where the weakness is. What the enemy does now is to weaken. Go to Nehemiah chapter 6 verse 9. Now this is the enemy speaking, and all of this is about the wall. Now, if there is a background to this particular episode of scripture. When Nehemiah was in Babylon, right, while he was in captivity, his brother brought news that those of the captivity were in jeopardy, the walls were broken down, there was no gate. And Nehemiah's heart, his heart left him. The position Nehemiah was at the time was all that any man could wish for. Talk more of a slave. Do you get what I'm talking about? It's like Joseph in Egypt. And when Nehemiah heard that Israel, Jerusalem does not have gate, it doesn't have bars, there are no walls, the walls are down, the rubbish are much. He sought for permission and he came. One of the things that Nehemiah did that made the enemy to become infuriated was the fact that the openings, the breaches, were being made up. It means Satan cannot come into your life and go out at will. Before he could strike, and then there's nothing you can do about it. But right now, there are fortresses, bulwarks are being raised. If he comes, he meets a strong tower. He meets the strength of salvation. And because the ministry of Nehemiah is now causing Israel to become an enclosed city, a fortified city, the enemy was afraid. And this is one of their antics and intrigues. He said, for they all made us afraid, saying that their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. And this particular counsel the enemy took concerning Jerusalem and the work of repairs going on, it was so serious that there was a spontaneous prayer that erupted. What was the prayer that Nehemiah prayed? Oh God, strengthen my hands. Hallelujah. Have you felt weak before? But there have been times where you want to pray, but your mouth is heavy. You felt that season of your life, there is a department of darkness that waits for that season to become ripe. That is why we must master the Lord being our strength. We must master the protocols of renewal and refreshing. Say that their hands shall be weakened. And in the case of Samson, if you go back, you could see that the research is, how will this man become weakened? How can we create and enforce vulnerabilities and weaknesses? And because it's a strategy, all right? By wise counsel, thou shalt make thy war. The enemy also takes counsel. Why do the hidden rage and the people imagine a venting? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against you. And what does the council? Break their bands. Where they have restraints, where they had they have standards, remove it. Make it a free for all affair. Make it a boundaryless affair. Christianity is not like this. It's not. You're going to find Jeroboam doing that in the book of is it 1 Kings chapter 12 now? You're going to find Jeroboam doing that. Give me 1 Kings 12. Maybe verse 26. 1 Kings 12, 26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If these people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of his people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Can you see that?
This is insecurity. Now Jeroboam became king. Israel became a divided nation. The days of King Saul, Israel was a united kingdom of Israel. Days of David, united kingdom of Israel. In the days of Solomon, it was a united but tottering kingdom. And the moment Solomon was dead, Israel became a divided kingdom. The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. North Israel, south Judah. And there was a prophetic war that brought Jeroboam into being the king of Israel, having 10 tribes. If God gave a prophecy, can't God keep the heart of the people with him? Because God was punishing the iniquity of the house of David at the time. But he said the man took counsel and made two calves. Now this is what he did. This is what he did. He told Israel, it is too much. The warfare of standards. Maybe like our NAFDAC. I was talking with Pastor Oswald and I just told him about some things. I say, all the cooking utensils I have in my house, they are danger. Those your frying pan. I say, your frying pan. Say, it's ham. When he finished explaining magnesium, this one, as you are frying, this metal will enter into your food. I'm like, oh God, if I follow this, your thing, nobody could cook for Nigeria. But this is it. If you go to UK, the cook in UK is not the same thing as the cook in Nigeria. You know why? The different standards of the nations. In Nigeria, they can pack sugar and put inside drink and color it for you. You drink, I say, Coca-Cola. But when you go out there, even microwave oven, there are ovens that cannot, making it to the UK market is tantamount to saying, I want to go to jail. Because there's international standard organization, the implementation and the enforcement in those nations are so rigid. What you call pure water or bottled water here. Just call it bottled water or sachet water. Don't call it pure. Because there is no standard that went into the production. From somebody's tank, from the well to the tank, just sedimentation, then they are just sealing it, and then inside bag, and then you are buying. But because it comes in leather. Hallelujah. Now, this is, you're going to find warfare around that. Jeroboam came and said, it is too much Christianity seeking God. Is not, what is all of this that must you go to Jerusalem? Just anywhere you are, God is everywhere. Have you heard it say God is everywhere? Have you heard people saying that the house of God is not this physical building? Anywhere that you are, is the house of God. Watch it. Those who are stepping down standards are speaking to you. It look innocent until you produce it like parallel lines. Until you produce it to an X and then you see the angular deviations. It is skewed just to 0.000 unimicron. You can't see it now. It is in the next 15 years, in the next 30 years, you will see that the departure will be today. Say, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your God, see them. And for crying out loud, he didn't bring a crocodile. He didn't bring that ephod that Gideon made. He didn't bring the brazen serpent of Moses. He didn't bring anything. He went and brought the brazen calf. The same thing from Egypt that got Aaron, that corrupted and polluted the ministry of Aaron. The same thing. You know why? When Solomon was after him, he ran to Egypt to save his life. By the time he was coming back, he went to Egypt as an Israelite. He came back with a religion, with a God in his heart. And the opportunity of kingship that he had, he produced it on the spot. Watch it. I saw I saw a publication on the Daily in the UK, how that the Anglican Church in the UK, they are going to vote to redefine the gender of God. That you cannot say God, he. You can't use a he to God. You can't use a she. That is all of that. And when I saw it, I knew that it was the seed that they have sown in ministry for over 30 years. Those persons that came in without standard are now in leadership. And redefinition and revisioning is going on everything that represents Zion. And it is very, very easy to go to a church without standard, because Christianity is not that difficult. Jesus Christ has paid it all. You just need to be using your debit card and be, do you understand? Just be withdrawing from what Jesus Christ did. No obligation, no responsibility. He paid it all. Say it is difficult. It is too much. This is now how to serve God. God is with you. You are your own prophet. You are the prophet of your own life. You are your own man of God. That is what brought Korah, Dathan, and Abiram down. A time came when they said, is it only through Moses that God has been speaking through? A strange spirit is after them. And what does this spirit haunt after? I just wanted to understand some things going on in the international landscape. And currently, top of the news, the most breaking of the breaking news is what? What is the breaking news right now? The earthquake in Turkey and Iran. And I wanted to just know, this thing, as at the last I checked today, over 22,000 persons, we have been confirmed dead, and the rescue is still going on, and the rescue time is elapsing. It means if somebody is under a debris for this long, they may not be able to survive, and all of that. Miracles, trust God for miracles to happen in those places. Hallelujah. And you hear things like fault lines. Have you heard of fault lines? People that did geography and geographers, if you did geophysics, geography, you will know fault lines. Where there are cracks. The earthquake took place like 100 kilometers in a different city, but houses in another city are cracking, caving, and giving way because those houses are along what we call fault lines. It means the tectonic plate is not holding. There is a slit, like a gully slit, but it happens under just a little tension, and then those plates will move. When Amalek is coming after a man, coming after a minister, after a ministry, after a people, after a nation, he comes along fault lines. These are the places where weaknesses are pronounced. Weaknesses are easy. These are like final words. And in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, the finally, my brethren, was preparation for war. This particular teaching is almost like final words in this spiritual warfare series. That there are things you need to watch. There are places you need to pay attention to. They are the fault lines of our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Give me Isaiah chapter 7, verse 5. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee. Verse 6, please. This is their counsel. Let us go up against Judah and vex it. Let's provoke it. Let's exert on Judah. This is the intention. Can we read together?
Can we read together? One, two, go.
He said, let us make a breach, create an opening, create a weakness therein for who? For us. This is warfare. Install weaknesses, make them vulnerable, make them exposed here and there, so that it can constitute an advantage for us. And then when we make a breach for us, we can now dictate the administration of the city. We will set the king in the midst thereof, even the son of Tabeel. Someone who is in agreement. Someone who is in alignment with their policies and their intentions. The enemy has a plan. As you go out, Satan has a plan to create weaknesses in your life. If you see what we read in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, 6, verse 9, he said, when all the assaults, the intention is to weaken them. When they become weak, they become discouraged, they become tired, then the work of God in their midst will stop. The move of God in her life will be brought to a standstill. Give me the last verse of Ezra chapter 3. So the Ezra 3, go to chapter 4, the last verse. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Give me verse 23, let me see. Now, when the copy of the king Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai, the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease. How? By force and by power. Anything and everything that will make the work of God, the move of God, the hand of God in your life to become weakened and to stop, Satan has a hand in it. Acts chapter 5, they called Peter and John and they flogged them. They took and said, indeed, a notable miracle has been done by these people and we cannot deny it, but that it spread no further. Even though the move of God, the hand of God is strong on this man's life, it is strong on this ministry, strong on a particular generation, Satan's intention, his research, the policy of darkness right now is stop it before they stop us. And when they are going out to stop a move of God, when one of the fathers in the faith cried out and said, the atrocities that his pastors commit, they are unprintable, we know that the move of God, there is a warfare against the church of God in Nigeria. Where pastors of a mainline church, they carry liar, charm on the waist, carry things. Are you there? You know that there is an attack against the move of God. Said that it spread no further. Let us threaten them and that they speak henceforth to no man in that name. Nehemiah 6 verse 9 said they made us afraid. And where there is fear, we become vulnerable. It is hard
that in the Israeli armed forces, it is a shame for an Israeli soldier to die by being shot at the back. If you signed up to be a soldier, man, an Israelite, if you are going to battle, it is ahead. And the only time that is safe to turn your back is when the victory is settled. So when they say they return the corpse of an Israelite back home, a soldier, and the bullet pierced him from the back, he is a byword. They turned him. You brought shame to this family. For you to be shot at the back means you turned your back in war. But fear makes the Christian to turn back. And there is no defense for the back. This warfare, the only time we can turn back is when we have already wiped out the enemy. That is the only safe time. And the enemy will be vexing. Give me that verse. Isaiah chapter 5. He said, let us go and vex them. This is how this thing works. You know, Pastor Dan was speaking the other day that your rent becoming due, does it look like spiritual warfare? Will you arrogate spiritual warfare to the fact that there are needs around? Will you do that? No. But the enemy knows how to create weakness out of needs. Needs are a part of life. Challenges are a part of life. What to eat is part of life. What to wear is just life happening. But the enemy knows how to exert that. If you don't do this, you go die of hunger. Say if a thief is caught because he's told to just ease his hunger, will they spare him? Why did he steal? He was hungry. What did he do? He committed sin, a crime. If they catch him, the explanation will not suffice for what will happen. Especially in certain quarters where it's jungle justice, just put tire on somebody's neck and then lit it and everybody is just watching the person go into flames. And you're like, how much did he steal? What he went to steal was 500 naira. Why? He was hungry. You see those exertion. The enemy can so push that if you are you there? The intention is a vex. Give me Psalms 89. Psalms 89, verse 22. Say the enemy shall not exert upon him, shall not put pressure on him. Shall not pressurize him. And then how do you exert? How do you vex? If you used to watch wrestling those days, I don't know why they used to play wrestling on Sundays. After we come back from church, then you come home, then we didn't have satellite, we had NTE. So we watch wrestling, we watch Taste by Moonlight and all of that. On Sundays, we watch wrestling. And you see, when a wrestling fight is going on, then it was war, WWF, now it's WWE. So everything now is fake. Then it was real. Now it's fake. All right? So anything you see in wrestling now is what? Fake. It is sport. It is no longer fight. Then you see, when two persons are fighting, the opponent is concentrating on a place. I know that this man, if it is direct combat, I don't have a chance. But any opportunity I have, I will hit the left leg. Every opportunity, left leg. Every opportunity, left leg. Until there is a fault line created, a crack created, where that person, that part becomes the besetting part of that person's life. No, there are sins that easily beset. Satan, if Satan brings money, it won't touch you. If he brings food, not be your own be that. If he brings this, but when something is coming on high heels like this, that is where the fault line is. And the enemy with all his investment is in the manufacture of high heels. All he will be doing is, he's not expecting the first one to take you down. No. He just will keep it coming. Give me Psalms 129. Psalms 129. A song of decrees. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. May Israel now say, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. That is going to be our story. That is going to be the description of our lives. Why the enemy, many times, many seasons, he will keep the attacks coming. He knows that in the next seven months, you will be married. And then he begins to fire your mind. Now so we go the day. Then when we have wedding here, maybe that day I'm preaching of the wedding, and then there is prophecy, there is power. When things are happening on the wedding day, the enemy just comes to you. And then begins to exert upon your heart. Anyhow, you can get double that born again. Then you remember the story that somebody told, that is an exclusive story of someone who married an unbeliever. The person got born again, became a pastor, and ministry is moving. That is no stories pastors should tell church members. Oh, because you are creating a fault line of philosophy or perspective. What is written is there is no fellowship. So if it happened in that person's case, it is not a case study. It is mercy that has no guarantee. Don't go and put your life on the line and say, I will marry him. Then I will pray him. He will become born again. Your life, you will pray. I tell you, you will really pray. But the enemy knows how to keep exacting. Anytime you see the same problem coming again and again and again, Satan is trying to create a fault line. And when there is a fault line, any little shaking, the building will go down. Anything that affects the core of your belief, there is warfare going on. So what do you watch out for? Watch out for your weakness. Don't be lost with your strength. Don't be lost with your advantages. The advantage can become sour in the mouth if the enemy is able to locate that weak point. Many good men have been made bad people because of the weakness of a nagging woman. The man is quiet, and you think his quietness is stupidity and all of that. He doesn't want trouble. And as you keep on nagging, and you keep on pressuring him, keep on pressuring the man, over time, there is a hardening of the heart that is going on. He's creating a niche that does not include you. He's learning to live his life without you. And before you know, when that crack happens, the first victim is that one. Many good women have been turned to beasts because of this. And fault lines. That is why God always watches. He said, the road of the wicked will not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Else, you see the righteous putting his hand inside. He don't go meet Babalawo. He has gone to Babalawo. He has gone to Mamalawo to go and receive something. Watch it. The fault lines of adultery, sexual sins. You see, the end time is going to be like the time of Noah. All right? And just like the time of Noah, where you find it's a sexual revolution, sex revolution generation. Everything is by sex. You want to buy a refrigerator, the advert has to be by sex. You want to buy chewing gum, sex. You want to buy a dress, sex. Shoe, everything is just nakedness. Hello? There is a fault line the enemy is exerting on our generation to ensure that everybody drinks of that cup of abomination being served by Babylon. Amen. Can you say, oh Lord, preserve me? Say, oh God, keep me. Oh God,
preserve me. Oh God, keep me. Last week was the most somber of my weeks because of things that I hear. So sad, so moody. What is going on? Can't we have a pastor that finished ministry and all over the place, they say the man was a great man of God and there is no negative news coming up after about the man? There are fault lines the enemy is enforcing so as to make the fall and the cracks effortless. And it is high time to pay attention. Watch your family. There are weaknesses you have seen in your ancestry. Treat it in your life. Don't say you are going to take, don't say I don't want to take Panadol for somebody's headache. That headache is a headache that is becoming your headache. You remember where we read in Judges chapter 16 verse 1? Those men that came, what did they do? They lie in wait all night. Thank God Samson woke up in the midst of their lying in wait. I don't know why he woke up. I don't know what move and steering of the Spirit of God that Samson responded to that. At me, they were waiting for him in the morning, where though sorrows may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And in the midnight, there is a move of God that steered him out of the house of the harlot to escape for his life. Now, there are these fault lines that we appear, they will rise up in spiritual warfare against a person along different contexts and landscapes. Health. If you go to the hospital, the doctors, when they are clacking a patient, they are tracing fault lines. Yeah, the person is having an everlasting headache. They check. How long has this thing been? It don't reach, it's up to 23 years now. How does it happen? He comes and goes. Then they find out. What about your mother? They begin to investigate and find out. Does anybody in the family, did anybody suffer from this kind of thing? Say, I heard that my mother's mother used to have that kind of headache. You know what is happening? There is something that has traveled in the gene. So you find diabetes in the family line. That anytime Satan wants to rise up against a person, against a people, he goes to dust those fault lines along the fault lines on health. Dust it and then just give somebody one. Then the person, as he's turning 40, he begins to do some, start living a particular kind of life. I read how that Moses, when he died at 120, this is ice, we are seeing Korokoro, his strength was Gidiba. I know that is my story. And this thing we are saying is not about name and claim, it's about appropriating intentionally. When I turned 40, be careful what you read. Be careful the information at your disposal. Before I turn 40, if I go to Facebook, the only thing I'm seeing is prostate cancer, anything from 40, prostate. And hey, I turned 40. And then it's like, I don't understand what is going on. And the only thing my mind is trying to tell me is, you need to go for this, you know. You need to go and check.
I had to use the word of God to deal with the matter.
It can be true scientifically. And the reason why it's scientifically true is because that is the reality of the man under the fall. But the man in Christ has a different reality. But the king that is in honor and knows not is like the beast that perish. And when you are going to insist that your portion is different from what is in the books, it's not going to be without a fight. There are hereditary diseases that must stop with a man who is ready to war, with a man who is now enlightened. Else, that crack continues. And life expectancy is 31, is 49, is 53. Because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, it has been established, but not for me. The other man died at that age. This one, that age. That one, that age. And then you are 1 year to that age. And many persons are beginning to think, I need to start disclosing my, those whose wives don't know their account details. So I say, there is one account in First Bank. This is the pin. This is the pin. There is another one. There is a land close to Banada Quarters. The document is inside this place. Anything you want to know, meet barrister so and so and all of that. They are preparing to pack up. But when you come under a ministry, right ministry, what happens to you is a reinventing of your life. At that point is, I shall live and not die. Watch it. Where there are fault lines of adultery, don't move on presumptuously. You marry, the lady is looking like this lady they used for Joy Soap advert. Joy Soap, you know Joy advert those days. You know, that's premier. It's nice. It's fine. That's premier. Delta did it. You marry a tail leader clean from Mercury. But what the books, the archives, what is in the hereditary shows that this beauty, like Rachel, will not live long. You need to start fight. That is a weak point. 2008, 14th of June, my mom passed. Want to be with the Lord. 21st of June, we buried her. 22nd of June in the morning, I started praying against the death of my wife. I was not married. Every spirit, what any spirit that killed my mom, you can't touch my own wife. I was not yet married. But this matter is an event. It will not become a pattern. That is how you sterilize happenings and restrict them. This is how far you have come, but no further shall you go. And that happens by a decree. My mom was like my girlfriend. Like really, really close. Just buried yesterday and today you are praying about this matter. And I was desperate praying about it. Because I woke up in the morning with tears. I didn't cry. I woke up with tears on my face without crying. I said, no, this matter, madam, you couldn't push. You couldn't push. 46. Couldn't push in life. But not so with my wife. This plan that I'll marry one woman, this my lifetime. So this one will live. You know why? You cut off negative fault lines. Why am I saying this? There are weaknesses, there are vulnerabilities, there are destructions that are lying in wait. Psalms 107 verse 20, please. He sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them
Can you read? From there, let's be audible and vocal. From their word. Is it destruction or destructions? It means there are many circles, many schedules of deliverances that God brought to them from destructions. Not just one destruction, but different destructions have been installed. The word of God sent saved them from their destructions. Many things want to take you down. For many persons, the fault lines in our families are the fault lines of the spirit of Antichrist. You don't do well in anything godly. If it is to go to false prophet, you are there. If it is go to Babalawo, you prosper in everything that is linked to idolatry. Your inclination to fall and to be deceived and to be inclined towards all of those negative things is so high that when you meet a genuine prophet, a genuine man of God, you fight the person. But how can all the people you know are false prophet and there's brain on your head? That is a fault line. That even the person is okay, I'm a Pentecostal, I want to serve God, I want to pray. Before you know, he's having punctuations here and there. He's rising and falling because that Antichrist will not allow the man to prosper. He is not established on the solid rock. He's in a miry clay. He's falling for too many things. And you need to take up your instrument of war and raise a lamentation. Anything that makes ministers not to be able to rise up in this family is a negative fault line. The last man that rose up, rising strong with a great pomp and momentum, he was cut off in the midst of his age. And then you are coming, shobolo, bolo, bolo, bolo. You may not even be as strong as that generation. You need to plan your journey. Because Amalek comes after that season of weakness. And when the enemy wants to vex, wants to exert, wants to put pressure, he comes to keep ramming using the battering rams until the walls begin to totter. They begin to give way, and then with one push, and then something boisterous happens. You're like, what is happening? What is this? The enemy has been tensioning that place. Fault lines of indebtedness. There are families that throughout their generations, if there's going to be a transitioning, it has to be by borrowing. And every time you are taking the next place to borrow, and if you see, oh my God. Amen. I know there are cash apps everywhere. Ren, Kuda. You know the cash apps. And for many of you, they keep sending me messages because you borrow, you didn't pay. You need to fight. You know, you are laughing, but as a pastor, I'm not laughing. It's not a laughing matter. Whatever move of darkness that will keep you empty-handed, that if you are going to do anything critical, serious, you must borrow. No, the borrower is a servant to the lender. That is an enforced slavery. Fault lines around marriages. Marital fault lines. You already seen that everybody married, is either their husbands died or they came back home, they got divorced. And then now you are trying to face a husband this way. You are trying to argue with your husband. It is that fault, that crack is coming your way. It's not about who is right or wrong. It's the fact that a spirit is trying to climb into your estate. And it will hold you in the place of justification until the crack gives way. Sister, you know what? The man slept with another woman. All right? It is granted. But behind the father, he slept with another woman. There is a fault line, marital fault line, where you are from. And whatever we lead to the crack, then you come back, or this negative things happen, that spirit will explore it. When there is a fault lines of polygamy, the man may be a pastor. You know, when I say that, maybe 9:10 in the night, my family has been taken home, and then a single lady is waiting to follow me home because we're living in the same area. Why do you want to do that? Why? If I was your husband, would you allow a single lady to follow your husband home that kind of time? You are angry because I'm not your husband. If I was your husband, you would fight me for giving a single lady lift. When there is a Yoruba adage that says, person will carry oil for body, no, they dance near fire. You have seen your father, this is what happened. Your brother, this is what happened. See children everywhere, just apparition of children that you don't know when they were born. All manner of polygamy is manifesting. The fault line is breaking out there. And then you are just trying to be the brother that loves sister. You are free. You, me, I'm free in Christ. You are free indeed. Oh God, you are not free. Something is coming up. In fact, that motion, that care you are giving to that sister is a motion of polygamy coming. There's what you call motions of sin. The power, the energizing of sin. So if you have not learned, right, if you know this is where your own matter is, oh God, build fence around yourself. Build barricade around yourself. It's like you live in a house, the main entrance has a door. When you enter, there is a lobby, there is a door. You enter parlor, there is a door. To go to the living room, there are doors everywhere. Before the enemy will make it there, so at least 911 would have responded. Talk more of where you are just living. Your house is in the center. Just one thing that looks like a wall. When they hit it, this is you there. Why? Sister, any guy that is loose with brothers, any guy that is loose with ladies, doesn't have restrictions, pray again. After you see him in the vistas, pray. He may need to wait for 2 years to come into the condition safe and fitting. Many persons don't know what is after them. There are sicknesses waiting for you to turn 45, but you didn't know. And you are just going to 45, going to close to Golden Jubilee, and then just in the midst of it, the suckers begin to sprout. When the wheat begin to bring for the ears, then the thorns, the tares also begin to grow. Amalek, we want to come around those fault lines where the shaking will be grievous. Sit down and do an audit of your life. Your elder brother married, all of them beating their wives, and you are going to the altar. Me and you, we live as one. Me and you, me and you, me and you. You are actually marrying a slapping partner. And this is it. In spiritual warfare, anything you have not dealt with particularly is still there. If you have not dealt with adultery intentionally, the thing is still there. The sucker is growing on the ground. It's traveling with you. It's traveling. When you get that promotion, and then you have all the leverages, then you begin to find that sucker begins to grow up. And you are wondering, how can I have been a believer for the past 25 years? What is happening? The thing is, many things travel with you. What is the wisdom? You don't wait. Give me Hebrews 11 verse 34 as we are rounding up to pray. Quench. These are the men of faith. Say they quench the violence of the fire. They escape the edge of the sword. Can we read the next part? Out of weaknesses, they were made strong. And they put to the works valiant in the fight and turn to fly the armies of the aliens. That weakness, begin to convert it to strength. Focus on building strength around it. Number one, if there is a weakness of adultery, polygamy around your family, you need to build a righteous restriction around your life. Keep yourself followed until strength is coming up within. Don't just embrace Jesus Christ, embrace liberty, then begin to embrace every other thing, holy kiss here and there. Four here. In 5 years, you already fought three, four times. You cannot be strong. There are things the mercy of God will do for you, but it will not change you. Do you understand? If you fail the course and the lecturer pass you, you have already passed, but he didn't give you the understanding. You are still daft. The dealings of God makes you into a kind of person. So that for the next 10 years, there is a mercy that you have received. Then the law of precedence begin to take effect. You killed the lion. Now you killed the bear. You killed the giants. The giants have moved from physical giants to spiritual giants. And they are all over. And you know the things you have been falling for. It is time to isolate them and then make them a project. Why? There is a provision. This is how God treats weakness. He wants to make your weaknesses to become strong. He wants to strengthen you in that area. And it's something you present to him to strengthen you. Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing, and the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. It is a matter of sincerity to say, Lord, on this matter, problem day, help me. On campus, I was going through a season of inordinate lust, one kind of strange pressure to grab everything I see. And I'm like, Lord, have mercy. I will go to the Lontanese court to pray. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Help me, oh God, help me. Purge me with your liquid fire. I'll pray. When I finish praying, I'll go back. The thing is still there. I called one of the men of God, Evangelist Sunday Guche. Call him. Then his wife picked. I didn't know how to tell a woman that. Wahala day. That was the mommy I just called to greet. Another lie there. And then when I got his line, Satan attacked the network. You're hearing chuku chuku chuku. Chuku chuku chuku. Then when you caught, the lady at the phone booth will say 20 naira. You try again. I spent 160. I couldn't talk. I say, what is this? Is and when I go to pray, oh Lord, help me, oh Lord, help me. And those were the days when the devil tells lies that you need to take care of yourself first before you come into the assembly of the brethren. That is the final agenda of Satan, to kill, when he begins to isolate you because of your weakness. And that day, I had to pray to God and call the name of the thing I was feeling. I called the name and I called it loud. It is inordinate affection. It is called lust. It is pulling me to immorality. I got victory. And I'm not saying I got victory from that same prayer. Why? Jesus Christ told his disciples, say, see my hand and my foot. You are hiding your own, and Jesus is showing his own. You have the weakness, you are hiding it from God. And Jesus Christ showed his own wound to the public. Say, see my hand. He said, dip your hand. Put your hand in my side. Why do people leave the church they are going to go and confess their weakness with a pastor far away and then come back? You know why? They are not sincere. I've had pastors call from different ministries to come and meet me. Which church are you? Don't you have a pastor? Say, I have a pastor, but they have a reputation there, but they have a weakness that they are covering up. Who are you minus the cover up? That is your true strength. Would you please rise up this evening? Remember that your strength will not atone for your weakness. And so long as your strength can blind you to your weakness, the enemy is okay. That is a victory ground. It's a run over for, it's a walk over for the enemy. So long as the way you sing, the way you preach, the way you pray, the way your, all the advantages you have can blind you from your own weaknesses and vulnerability. We want to have exponential victories after this fast. What to have men putting the devil where he truly belongs after this fast. And these are men that will be open to God to heal. God wants to heal. Can you go ahead where you are at right now? Because when warfare comes to you, it doesn't come to us as a group. It comes to you as an individual. David was in the wilderness. The bear came to him. The lion came to him alone there. There was no sound, no instrument, no pastor, no encouragement, no prayer language. It was him alone. When these giants are coming, can you, where you are at, online, on ground, I am jealous for your victory. I am jealous that you will triumph. Is there someone that we open up and say, Lord, see this area. If I go out, the enemy will take advantage of me. So we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy, lest Satan should have an advantage over us. In warfare, the grounds of advantages are precious ground, and we will not give advantage to the devil. Come to the end of myself. Jehovah, take over. I have come to the end of myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have come to the end of myself. Jehovah, take over. I have come. Yes, you need to talk to God right now. Because out there in spiritual warfare, it's not only the Lord that is there. It is not only the finished work of Jesus. You find the enemy is looking for places to explore. He's looking for grounds. The Bible says we should give no ground, give no foothold to the devil. Skabo makatena. Sabela rana azosa. Sayenemon davina. Davina, davina. Solia randekos. Kasande bona. Kasamapo. Eka fresosa. Eka fresosa. Savimon taga. Savimon lande. Selerando. Minkasosa. Minantaras. Saiman tako. Kariele Moza, Avivinende, Aviokombanzasa, Salaragune, Sibona, 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 Sayenada. Samson was so strong, but the enemy kept exerting. The enemy kept exerting on Samson. Until a time came where Samson felt like dying. He told Delilah his secret, and they bound him, cut his hair off, and they afflicted him. The enemy is trying to look. He's researching where your weakness lies. Oh God, heal the breaches. Heal the breaches. Heal the breaches of our lives. A ministry can be so strong, yet weak somewhere. We need to close up the breaches. Close up the openings. Oh yes. Online, on ground. We will not go through the circles. We will not go through the circles and the cycles. We are going to ask the Lord to cure, to heal. Let Jehovah Rapha, let him heal the weaknesses. Let him bound up our wounds so that we can be strong, an army exceeding strong, a king against whom there is no rising. Hey, oh God, heal the fault lines in our families, the fault lines in our families. Oh God, heal. Oh God, heal every threat to family life, every threat to our health, every threat to ministry, every threat to our finances. Oh God, we ask for your healing. Oh God, heal. Kabola Nazizo, seven de bro, young lady, your mother did not stay in your father's house. You need to take up that battle right now. Take up that battle. Every spirit, every power that unsettled your mom from your father's house, take up that fight and establish victory for your mom and for yourself right now. Spirit, that fourth line of premature death, that fourth line of premature death, take authority right now. Take authority, attack it, and let there be a healing. What is that crack? That crack, that crack, that crack in your ancestry. You can ask the Lord to heal that crack. Oh God, in my family, people don't succeed as priests of God, as priests of Salem. Oh God, heal that fault line in my life. I discover that man cannot rise up and remain blessed. You need to ask the Lord. I say, oh God, heal that fault line right now. Oh, Nata. He kambo latena. Varas kababalante. Baraguzase. Sobontade. Veriso saila. You have discovered a fault line in your husband. That is a prayer project, not a subject of quarrel, not an item of fight, but it's a prayer project for the wise woman that will build his or her own house. You discover a fault line with your wife. That's a prayer direction, object of prayer. You can now address it, name it, stay specific in prayers. Address the matter specifically. Even though we are together, you can handle that matter. The fourth line of anger. Hey, the fourth line of anger. Anger has burnt up many homes, burnt up many institutions, burnt up opportunities, burnt up privileges. Oh God, the fourth line of anger. For Moses, that fourth line followed him from Levi. They are instruments of cruelty. That fourth line followed Moses, and he could not keep up. He was rejected. He had a fault in that area, and God did not allow him to see the promised land. Why? He was angry. These are fourth lines. For some persons, there's a long fault line of laziness. You are too slothful.
Your father was a sloth. You are a sloth. Family members are so lazy. Gifted but lazy. Great potentials but so lazy. The Bible said the slothful man is so slothful and lazy that he can't even raise his hand to put food in his own mouth. Where he goes on hunting, he's so lazy, he cannot roast, he cannot process what he has gotten by effort. Oh God, heal the fall line. Earthquakes, demonic earthquakes, families quaking, ministries quaking, nations quaking, organizations quaking. We need to now pay attention to the front lines. Karane Boses, Senila, Senila, Senila. Say, let us lie in wait. In the morning, we will catch him and kill him. Oh God, quicken us. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. There was an earthquake that brought them out of prison house. At midnight, Samson rose up and took the gates, bars and all. He didn't sleep till morning. You will not allow this fault line a full gestation period. You will not allow this weakness to run its full errand. You will rise up. Rise up. Young man, rise. Young lady, rise up. Rise up. Kena Yagadunas. Borasene, Avivinos, 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 Sosavile, Varana and Sazo, four lines of delay, four lines of delay, four lines of delay. Your dad married late, his father married late. You are now 43, you are 39. You are 48. That is a fault line. That is where the devil is strongest. Satan is strongest the most in the fault lines. Oh, Kayena.
Emo. Avivo voices.
Out of weaknesses, they were made strong. Can you say, Lord? Out of this weakness, out of this weakness of fornication, out of this weakness of adultery, out of this weakness of indebtedness, out of this weakness that you know, oh God, make me strong.
Hey,
strengthen my arm. Strengthen my armor. Make me strong. Ancient of days. Strengthen my hand. Strengthen my armor. Make it strong. Pastors, we can recover our ministries. We can recover our full ordination the way God designed it. Every weakness that has reduced and stepped down and leveled down our possibility. Oh God, bow me, Gilead. Oh, thou physician, heal me. Oh, make me an eternal excellency. Make me a joy of many generations. Make me a pathfinder. Corona Vasa, Sozon Dakabo, Vintanes, Vintara, Sazozela. Arago, go ahead and pick up a fight against the spirit of Amalek. That spirit that comes to make weak, the spirit that weakens. Hey, go ahead and resist Amalek. Resist the Amalekite, the ministerial Amalek. Hey, family Amalek. Business Amalek. Financial Amalek. Go ahead. Take authority. We have dealt with Pharaoh. We have dealt with Haman. We need to deal with Amalek. Amalek will come from the back. Amalek will come where you are not covered. Amalek will come where you had a quarrel with your husband and push him out into something else. Amalek will come and magnify the misunderstanding you have with your wife so it can create a weakness, expand the weakness to ruin the home. Amalek! Oh yes, online, arise up, arise against the spirit of Amalek, take authority over that wicked spirit, take authority over that principality, over that personality, that spirit of darkness that targets when you are weak, that spirit that checks your strength and exact weakness. He said, let us go to Judah. Let us create. Let us make a bridge. Let us make a bridge for ourselves. So we can have a stake in that life. So we can have a stake in the ministry. So we can have a stake in the nation. So we can have a stake in that family. Oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me tell you what the Lord told me while I prayed and prepared. The Lord told me, and this is, if you are going to succeed against the fault lines, demonic fault lines. Dealing with demonic fault lines is the title of this message. Alright? And need, you're going to see a need. You're going to see weaknesses. You're going to see problems. Okay? If you're going to deal with it, the Lord said, emphasize the fruit of the Spirit. Let me read for you. Say, the fruit of the Spirit is a divine design to shield and cover us from weaknesses that create open doors to ancestral and demonic flows into our lives. If there is a fault line of adultery, alright, and you are having an inclination towards a woman, not your wife, that fruit called self-control will hold you. And these moves of darkness, they comes in circles and seasons. Satan came, tempted Jesus Christ. The one installment had three major temptations. When Jesus Christ overcame, he left him for a season. The next time he came, you see him, Jesus was traveling on the sea, wanted to demonic destruction, demonic ejection from the core to drown him. That one did not work because there was authority. It was self-control that made Jesus not to turn stones into bread. If you have not been paying attention to the details of self-control, you will have fault lines without restriction. I was praying and it was from last night. Why praying last night to this morning? He said, the fruit of the Spirit is a divine design to shield you. Check all the problem, what you call weaknesses. There is a solution in the fruit of the Spirit. If it's anger, there is joy, there is peace. Do you understand? You can match those weaknesses with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the shield that God makes available.
when there are weaknesses, so that while you are being healed, you are also being shielded. Do you understand? The fruit of the Spirit. Say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, is long-suffering, is gentleness, is goodness, is faith, is meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This meekness, you need it if you operate in the second layer authority. If you are an associate pastor, if you are a wife, anything that makes you assistant, if you don't have meekness, there is a spirit that will come for you. It's called Jezebel. Jezebel comes after second layer leadership. And it has a can of many accessories inside. And a quiet spirit, which before God is of great in the sight of the Lord, is of great price. That is what is going to shield you. You're going to hear your husband speak a lot of trash. Then when you finish talking to my husband, I'm so sorry. Then that whole anger just drop like a garment that doesn't have anything. It just drop like this. It takes meekness. Can you just go ahead and bless the Lord? Appreciate Him. Appreciate Him. Bless Him. Lord, we thank you. We magnify your great name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Please, let's be seated briefly. Let's cause the offering basket to go round. Today is the day number 37. Of the 40 days fast, and God has been faithful and gracious to us. And by the grace of God, we are going to see the end of this fast triumphantly in the name of Jesus Christ. The account details for the offering, they are on display. If you are there, you can use your Cash App, your phone, USSD code, whatever avenue works for you, and make your offering. And we are also reminding us of the sacrifice that we have been told about again and again. The last date for that particular window is going to be this Friday. And today is already Tuesday. So we have effectively 3 more days to go. Trust the Lord, believe Him to help you to come into the practice of that teaching and instruction and truth in Jesus' mighty name. Amos, can we have the Ebana? So tomorrow through to Friday, we're going to be having an extraordinary moment. Hallelujah. We're going to be having the 3 days, 3 nights of answers and then communion service. Are we there? Where is Amos? I sent you the Ebana. And you have seen it. Is Amos not there? Okay, let's display the Ebana, please. So tomorrow is going to be essentially prayers. We're going to be pushing and pressing the place of prayers more from tomorrow. So if you are coming, come with your prayer mat, come with your prayer boot. 3 nights of answers. It means you should come with questions because there will be answers. Hallelujah. Yes, if you want to shout, that's a good place to shout. The looks on those faces, they don't... Nobody is joking here at all. Even when I saw myself, I was like, hallelujah. I don't know where these media people went and found that kind of picture. And... That's mama there.
somewhere at the other side, cutting and cutting. So from tomorrow, we're going to be having 3 sessions of prayers. And we're going to be pushing. There will be definite, specific prayers. And these are the types as we are praying, the answer is dropping. There will be no principality that will keep it. It will be too hot to be trapped by any spirit. It will be dropping right to your bosom, direct. So online, on ground, get your prayer mat ready. Invite your friends, your loved ones, your family members. Share the link of this prayer timeout. Share the links to your family members. Share the links to your friends, because God is going to be coming visiting in a very brutal way, in the name of Jesus Christ. So 4 p.m. we are here. The Lord bless you greatly in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Would you please rise up as we... So we must drop this Ibana on all our platforms. Let it go around. Let it reticulate far and wide. God bless. For thine is the kingdom.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.